The Weedsman Podcast. ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
Hey, what's going on?
What are you guys up to?
Oh, little weed, you know.
It's the Weedsman Podcast Nugget.
Zippity what?
Ready to drop the bass? Let's drop the bass.
Whoop-de-doo. What does it all mean?
All the random stuff that didn't fit in Friday's show you'll find here.
Oh.
Okay.
Hey, man. You got a joint?
Got a little bit of refry smell on your boy?
What that mean?
Please, give me my weed, all right?
Today, fucking 10 years, right? I've lived here almost 10 years. You were here. The ivy was on the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great, fine. No, get a notice on the door. Fucking last Wednesday, ivy's got to go. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? The ivy's got to go. Like, it's been here, like, for a the decade I've been here, it's been here, and it's been here since I was a fucking kid. What the fuck are you talking about?
I guess that shit'll fuck up a house.
I don't know. Whatever I did to fucking that's what I did for like 7 hours today. Just pulled all of it out. On the garage, on the house, on the fence. Fucking
God, just rip it out by hand?
Yeah. It actually came out pretty easy. You just get a good branch and just fucking.
Yeah. Not a bad day for it, though, either.
Well, I had quoted
been worse.
$700. Over $700 from two services. Like, you can eat a dick. Never mind.
How?
Right?
Are they used to doing colleges? Are they thinking that you live in a dorm?
Right. So, no, fuck you. I started at, like, 11:15. I finished at, like, 6:45. I had to make 2 Home Depot runs, fucking like 16 bags of those big ass lawn bags. But hey, fuck you. There's nothing on the side of my houses now.
How many of those bags?
15.
Are you kidding me? This was some pretty dense ivy, huh?
It's a big job, so I knew I had to start in the morning. Like, this is not going to be a couple-hour job.
I mean, still $700. I mean, it's sounding more reasonable when you tell me how much you actually produced, but that's still a lot. I mean, if you were able to do it in a day, then any one of the lawn guys could have come over and done it in a day, and you're telling me that he makes $700 a day?
And pulled on my weeds and cleaned out my gutters. So, added value.
I mowed all of my backyard lawn, which is something that doesn't usually always get done, not in one shot.
Well, you got a big ass backyard.
No, not really. it's a really small backyard. It's just it gets overlooked because I don't do anything in the backyard. I don't have anything back there. There's no pool. There's no picnic table. There's nothing. There's no hangout area. There's just a patch of grass that is mostly weeds and. And I fight it back with a lawnmower once a month. And then I get tired and I go, nobody's looking behind the garage anyway.
Right.
and then I collapse.
Dude, I know I'm getting old because this year I've actually thought about like looking at my lawn and going, man, look at this. We gotta fix this. Like, it could be like on all the podcasts I listen to, they talk about this Sunday company.
Yeah.
Where they essentially like, you know, you send them like a soil sample, or you give them your address. They kind of already know like the conditions of where you live and all that. And
right.
You pay them like $100 to $200, and then they send you a whole bunch of shit that you apply with your hose.
Oh, no shit. That's an interesting way to go.
So I was like, yeah, as soon as I start working again, I'm going to do that. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm the guy who cares about my fucking lawn now. God damn
it. I would do that, too, if I owned this place. You know, I'm not going to put investment into somebody else's lawn.
Because it's Dandelion City in the spring over here. And it's...
Dude, I had a cluster of dandelions that was like 2 feet in diameter. I swear to God, behind the garage.
Like it was made soup with?
It was huge. And it was like 3 feet tall.
Damn. It's like shit out of horror movies.
Yeah. It was going, feed me. What was the guy's name? Seymour. Yeah, feed me, Seymour. Which those things do kind of look like that. If you ever look at a dandelion right before it's about to burst, it looks like Audrey 2 with a mouth full of feathers. Like it looks like little Audrey 2 that just ate a pigeon.
But yes, so realize I start giving a shit about my lawn.
Oh man. Right. Because, well, it makes it easier to maintain, right?
Mm-hmm. Looks like nicer when it's mowed too.
Well, you get to you get it in place and then you just have to maintain it instead of every year going out there and now you got all kinds of crazy weeds and it's all patchy and you're actually spending more time out there just trying to get it back in shape. But I go over to my ex. She lives in this. I think she's got she doesn't live in a condo or anything, but there's a homeowners association in the neighborhood, right?
Oh, one of those fucking...
I don't know how this works. She lives in this little kind of cul-de-sac neighborhood. It's only got one entrance. It's not a gated community or anything. But everybody's lawns are perfect. And it's, I call it the high and tight, where it's perfectly edged and everything. And I'm it looks like you just, do you get this transplanted in? Do they just drop it in? Does it retract at night?
Well, I mean, they probably
go back into the ground.
Sounds like a neighborhood where they probably pay people to mow the lawn.
I think so.
I finally found an app where you can pay electronically. So I've now, I retired my lawnmower a couple of years ago. Because my whole problem was having to pay them $100-something a month. Fuck that. Why can't I give you just $30 a week through my fucking phone? Other business now. Well, lawn care's finally caught up. Now I can pay weekly, so now I don't give a fuck. Yeah, great, cool, $30. Awesome. See you on Wednesday. You do it. We are applying the Homer Simpson rule once again.
Yeah, I'm horrible at maintaining lawns because I just don't give a fuck. But fortunately or unfortunately, I guess, my neighborhood is patrolled by the city. There's a blue SUV that goes around and issues warnings to people who are letting their weeds get out of control.
I live in a grass city. Trust me, I don't give a fuck either, so I have someone else do it. But I live in a city that gives a fuck, which is, hence the notice on my door about my ivy. Damn.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm not even going to try to think what they'd charge me. Probably charge me $1,000.
Taxpayer money. What if the city had to come? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Apparently, I think ivy can actually get into, I wanted to call it the grout. The mortar, right? The stuff in between the bricks. It can actually break that down.
Bam.
Because it just gets into every little nook and cranny. And eventually, you've got so much ivy, it just just flexes and busts everything down.
I've seen Batman. I know what happens.
That happened in Batman?
Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah. No, right. Of course.
That's how she'd fuck shit up.
There's a story going around, apparently, about... and who knows if this is even true. This is probably just a story that they're telling about while they do promotion for the show. But the Harley Quinn show has had 2 seasons already, and they're doing a 3rd season. I think it's coming out fairly soon. And the writers or whoever's doing the interviews for it are talking about the joke that they couldn't get away with. Because this show's pretty racy. And I guess there was a scene where Batman was going down on Catwoman. And that's where the network was finally no.
I didn't even know there's a Harley Quinn show. Is it a CW show?
No. It's no CW couldn't get away with this shit. It's on the HBO app, and I think it originally was on the DC app, but I don't even know if that's operating anymore. All their TV shows moved over to HBO, so it's always been. It was never on even basic cable. They're swearing all through it and making raunchy jokes. It's a Rick and Morty style animated show.
Just is HBO trying to do what Is HBO buying what fucking Disney isn't? Like, it's just HBO and Disney are going to have everything?
Well, it's Warner Brothers, right? How does it go? Because, like, Warner's...
I don't even know anymore.
I forget. Warner's getting sold off to somebody else, but they were owned by AT&T. And so AT&T owned Warner Brothers and HBO, or Warner Brothers owns HBO, or I can't remember. I don't remember the hierarchy, but HBO and Warner Brothers are in the same family. Because all the DC superhero stuff is on the HBO app. I've been...
And isn't every Warner Brothers movie hitting HBO Max that comes out this year?
Yes. Yeah, that's where they're doing their releases. It's actually watching some Marvel stuff that's still on the Warner Brothers app, on the HBO app. The Blade trilogy, which I've never watched. I've never seen Blade.
Really?
Yep. Not bad. It's really not bad.
No, not at all.
It's a really fun action movie.
Wesley Snipes is a badass.
He's really fun. He's so fucking charming, of course. And, you know, I watched two of them now with my daughter.
Remind you that Stephen Dorff used to be a thing?
Well, Stephen Dorff's coming up in the third one, isn't he? Or no, he was in the first one.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Stephen Dorff was in the first one. Stephen Dorff did used to be a thing.
That's quite the 90s movie, though, lineup.
The problem Snipes is nobody could figure out what that thing was that he was.
He was, to me, he was, when Christian Slater said no, you got Stephen Dorff.
Yeah.
He was poor man's Christian Slater.
He was kind of riding the rails between poor man's Christian Slater and poor man's Kiefer Sutherland.
I could see that, I guess. To me, he just always reminded me of Slater.
Kiefer Sutherland look with Christian Slater attitude. I thought he was pretty good in that in True Detectives. I think that was the last thing I saw.
Oh, that's right.
Stephen Dorff in.
Wasn't Christian Slater in True Detective?
Christian Slater?
Who was the first season?
The first season is McConaughey.
Oh, that's right. And Harrelson.
And Woody Harrelson.
And who was the second season?
Second season is a bunch of
Vince Vaughn.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
A Rachel McAdams apple.
Yes.
And what was the third? Oh, it was...
Never mind. Slater was Mr. Robot. I'm trying to think, well, what the fuck was Christian Slater in that was huge?
Yeah, Mr. Robot definitely put Christian Slater back on the map. And then he's got some other show that he's got now.
The Weedsman Podcast.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
The Weedsman Podcast.
That Christian Slater, by the way, that was my dude. When I was, you know, everybody, every generation has got like their fonds, you know? And for me, that was definitely Christian Slater. Between Pump Up the Volume, Heathers, and there's a third movie that he did that was really influential on my childhood.
Oh, there's like a Gen X actor, Mount Rushmore, he's on it.
Yeah.
With like Winona Ryder and like Johnny Depp. Who'd be the fourth?
That's a good question, because it seems like a lot of our generation's big actors when we were coming up have kind of burnt out. Like Robert Downey Jr.?
He was fucking Iron Man.
Well, no. I'm sorry. There should have been a period in between those two. That should have been two sentences. Like, on one hand, it seems a lot of them burnt out. On the other hand, I think maybe Robert Downey Jr. might be a good fourth. Even though he did get burnt out in that middle period when he kind of went off the rails and was uninsurable.
But is he from that? I mean, because he's from like the 80s. If you remember, he was on like SNL when he was like 18.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He's like from the Brat Pack generation.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to think more 90s.
Like Ethan Hawke. I'm trying to think of the people who were in everything. It was like Slater, Depp, Winona Ryder.
Honestly, Ethan Hawke has probably had the most consistent career and has the most talent out of any of the people that we're talking about. And beyond acting, too. He's a great writer and director. So, I mean, Ethan Hawke, I think, he would definitely be the fourth. And for that matter, if we're going to rank by talent, he goes number one. And Slater might go a little back further on the mountain range.
Yeah, I mean, Slater doesn't really have range. I mean, yeah. He's definitely got, you know, there's a niche that he's got, you know, and it goes, you know, it's pretty much like snarky to bad guy. Like,
no.
You're not going to see him in any feel-good movies.
Speaking of a narrow but effective range, his latest project is going to be with Alec Baldwin. They team up to take down a dangerous surgeon in Dr. Death. Oh, this is coming out soon. In 1 month, we'll be able to watch all 8 episodes on Peacock of Dr. Death.
Dr. Death? It was about Kevorkian?
Clip shows neurosurgeon Robert Henderson, who's Baldwin's character, and vascular surgeon Randall Kirby, who's Slater's character. God, they're going to have like a voice off.
Yeah.
They're just going to keep getting lower with their voices.
Going to have a raspy voice off.
Yeah. We're going to really push our voices at each other. This is a serious scene. We're going to need to bring all of it.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm bringing 110%. I'm bringing 1,000% to this.
What do we do? I don't know.
Okay, guys. That's good, but we're going to need something that the mics are actually picking up.
Yeah. See who could talk the lowest and the raspiest.
Yeah. While it has 2 male leads. Wait, who's this third one? Is that... That's Pacey.
Well, Dawson's Creek?
Yeah. I think that's him.
So what...
Is he in this too? Joshua Jackson. Yeah. That's his name. Yeah.
Does it say the fat kid? He's not fat anymore.
No.
He's fat on Dawson's Creek.
I don't know. Maybe it just looks like him.
Oh, anything I've seen him in lately, he has a niche as he plays the dick husband.
Oh, yeah. He plays the husband that is definitely getting cheated on.
Yeah.
That's Joshua Jackson's niche in Hollywood right now. We got this character, and he's kind of a schmuck.
Or he's going to get killed.
And he's kind of a dick, and... You know, he's going to get cheated on or something bad's going to happen to him, but we want the audience to feel like he kind of deserves it. So we need somebody with, like, a face that's not, like, really hateful, but you just sometimes want to punch it.
Yeah. We need a really punchable face.
Yeah, we need a punchable face. Get Joshua Jackson on the phone. That probably is a term in Hollywood. That, like, and for this guy here, the husband, we need a punchable face. Who's Doughy? Who's Doughy? Yeah, right. Joshua Jackson is doughy, but he's still got that doughy face.
Somebody who you just want to punch.
Yeah. Yeah, that is... Okay, that is Joshua Jackson in there. This is character just phenomenally awful. This is him talking about the character on the show. He's just a phenomenally awful, fascinating human being, which I thought was perfect for me. And we agree.
You have the market cornered at playing dicks right now.
Have some of my coffee. Have you been following the news on coffee?
No, is it something that's hard to get? Is it one of those things right now?
No, it's just another rash of coffee news about how if you drink too much of it, and nobody's really sure what too much might be, but you could go blind, apparently. But Jesus. Also... New York Times had a story that links that was talking about the health benefits of coffee, saying in their subheadline that it's linked to a reduced risk of all kinds of ailments, including Parkinson's disease, melanoma, prostate cancer, and even suicide.
Jesus.
And
just from coffee?
Just from coffee, yeah. Well, yeah, just. I mean, I think we're going off the rails with coffee. Can we just... understand that it's just coffee?
Not anymore. Everything's got to be able to kill you.
Kill you or save you.
Well, no, it's fear, right? It's how the news operates right now. Your coffee could be killing you.
Well, you got 2 options. You have oh my god and phew. Like, oh my god, that could be me. Oh, like, right? And usually the one... precedes the other. You read a headline, you go, oh my god, that could be me. And then you read this story and you go, Oh, that happened in India. Phew, that was close.
Yeah, or
that random shooting could have happened in my neighborhood.
Or you read it and it's something like 1.5% of people tested. This happened to okay. So 98.5% of people this didn't happen to. All right.
Yep.
Like for me, that's the stuff I'll do.
This could happen to you if you happen to fall into the 0.01%.
Well, yeah, they're doing it right now with myocarditis in males under 30 in the COVID vaccine. There's already been millions of them administered, and they're talking about 200 cases. Like, do the math. Do the math. Come on.
Yeah, there's a story today that was like, they're taking this more seriously. It turns out it's more serious than they previously thought. And I was like, are they seeing more cases? I read the story. No, it's just that a couple of these people, you know, took a turn for the worst. Took a turn for the worse, unfortunately. But that doesn't, it doesn't change the numbers on it.
Yeah. And in the story, they also kind of put, by the way, it just, in males this young, it just resolves itself.
Right.
So it's like, okay. Thanks for that. Thanks for wasting my time.
honestly, I mean, that's data that I would hope that the right people are keeping track of, and they're tracking this and seeing if maybe there are going to be some effects down the line of this, and we'd like to know. We want to have as much advance notice as we can, of course, but that's like, it doesn't need to be reported.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like keep stuff from the people. I'm saying stop reporting on every fucking thing, every study, every like.
Stop on reporting
every time more than three people. Like, you're skewing the headlines because people don't think in numbers that big. They can think in numbers smaller, like a few dozen, and they see a few dozen headlines that say that, you know, this myocarditis is a problem. And now their brain is locked in. This is a problem.
Yeah, I had a friend who was, you know, we were talking vaccine talk. And, you know, in typical, went down that road. And I just had to be like, dude, I had to do the numbers. I was like, you have a better chance. Because when I did the numbers of what he was talking about, it was 0.00. It was like four zeros and then like, mm-hmm. Four or something. I said, you have a better chance of winning the lottery than you do at this happening to you.
Honestly, I think that science reporting should strictly be left to science journals, and that anything that reaches the New York Times or Washington Post or Fox News or whatever should be opinion. If you want to talk about science, get a scientist on, get a couple scientists on. Ask them their opinion. What do you think about this? Well, studies are showing this and that. Yeah, okay. But beyond that, if you want to talk about reporting on studies, on hypotheses, on theories, all these things should be left to the science journals. Because the public and not even the journalists have the language to deal with these subjects properly. Even the New York Times, the bastion of wanting to like get things correct and have everything formatted, can't get the language down on what is a hypothesis and a theory. They don't understand it.
Yeah.
And they should stop reporting on it. And also these dozens of stories that you read, I mean, this is usually one story that's covered by a respectable scientific journal or something, and every single paper reports on it. It's all coming from that same source.
Yep.
But again, you open up your news feed, every major outlet has a story about, you know, this thing related to COVID or anything related to science or health or anything like that. And you're like, oh my God, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's annoying, because they're relying on people not to do the math, right? Oh, they just see 200 cases versus how many administered vaccines.
Well, John Stewart. He was debating with Colbert about it. John Stewart apparently is convinced now that this is that COVID was a lab leak. So everyone's reporting on that, and they're saying how John Stewart is presenting his lab leak theory. I'm like,
no, he's not. He's presenting his lab leak hypothesis.
A
theory has to have proof to be a theory, right?
Right, yes. And also, I think you have to be a scientist to actually have a hypothesis. You have to have you still have to have a scientific method to come up with a hypothesis to then try and prove to make it into a theory. But John Stewart's not a scientist. So all John Stewart has is an opinion, and he's welcome to it, and he can, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't have that opinion or that he shouldn't be voicing his opinion. But stop going around like John Stewart has a theory about COVID. Are you fucking insane? What? First of all, he doesn't have a theory about COVID. He doesn't have the capabilities to have a theory about COVID. And you shouldn't be listening to somebody like that who claims to have a theory about it. If he has an opinion about it, fine. That's what he does, you know? He's a talking head dude / comedian, whatever term, you know, allows him to dodge the most responsibility.
Right.
Given the situation.
Pundit.
Yes. But he's an opinion guy, right? He's going to tell his opinion. Like, I'm with him. I think his opinion makes sense. But that's because I've also heard this hypothesis from multiple scientists. And I don't go around telling people my theory on right. hypothesis because I don't have a fucking degree on my wall. So all I can have is an opinion. And all news outlets can have is an opinion on science. Unless they actually put a scientist on their staff, they have nothing but opinions about science.
I want to see a byline from Bill
Nye.
All righty.
The Weedsman Podcast. ChristopherMedia.net.